initial success.
Oh, yes.
All for one.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare. Prepare to experience another fabulous edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the place where you get the guests who are either A1, people you've already heard of, and they wind up cackling away and you see another side to them, or two, it's the people you've never heard of that you certainly want to hear from again. Today is the latter. His name is Ron, and I've forgotten his last name already, but comes from a company called Forever Green. And those of you out there who have children who've been vaccinated, that have experienced terrible side effects, as is the intention, of course, because as we all well know, vaccines are a deployed bioweapon that is being used on the public as we speak. You'll certainly get along with this man, especially if you understand the importance of natural health products as an alternative to bioweapons. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Thanks, Benny. It's Ron Williams.
All right. Glad we got that one out of the way. I'd love it if you could actually introduce yourself to the audience, because you're a musician and a filmmaker, and now you're running a company called Forever Green. This is quite an interesting progression. I'd like you to explain to me just how that happened.
Well, I think the old school, Vinny, was when we kind of got pigeonholed into one idea or one thought, and then like it or lump it, we would have to do it the rest of our lives. But I think we're moving into a business era of inspiration, no longer manipulation, no longer motivation, but true inspiration. And when you do that, crazy things can happen, because we start living our truths, we start pursuing our passions. And in this case, you know, I've always had a passion for music, for communication, and so I did a film. The film won several international film festivals, and Jessica Biel has become a spokesperson for the movie, and I've written some books as a form of expression, and again, empowerment, not to be the voice, but be one voice that's being heard. Very passionate about health, because I think that too many people are stepping over their health, thinking they're going to create and sustain their dreams, only to come up short, or hopeless, or cynical, or fear, or survival. And we see that everywhere today.
The real point there is they're thinking about fulfilling their dreams and not actually just going ahead and doing it.
We always ask the question, are you a lazy visionary, or are you blind and busy? And so the whole idea is to be passionately engaged in what your vision is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what you look for in good employees and good friends. Somebody who's passionate about what they do. It doesn't matter about their qualifications, their experience, or whatever, because those things are absolutely irrelevant. A piece of paper from university, it has nothing to do with your work aptitude. But if you love something, boy, oh boy, do you go the extra distance. Those are the type of people that wind up getting ahead in life. Those are the type of people that wind up building their fortunes, building companies, enriching people's lives. The latter kind, those are the people that follow orders from evil scumbags who try to oppress you in every single conceivable way.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right, Vinny. From the herding mentality, where there was one dictator and a bunch of a herd that had no voice, it just followed, versus the tribal mentality of people who are alive and aware and conscious. And energy doesn't lie, and you're so right. When we hire here, people always say, do we take the education or the experience? And our answer is always attitude and energy, and because it's so teachable and coachable. So right on the money.
And long off in the distance in a Utah valley, you could hear it whispering silently on the wind, Obamacare! Obamacare! You know, we talk about hilarious items like eugenics and Holocaust and genocide generally in our daily life, and, you know, have a good few laughs about it. But the reality is quite a lot more stark than I try to make it out, because, quite frankly, the truth scares a lot of people quite irrecoverably, if that's even a word.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is like having an involuntary blue pill, or red pill, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, right now, what's happening in the healthcare world and the health world, etc., it's scaring everybody to no end. And, you know, we're finding ourselves here in America, the sickest generation, the heaviest generation, and the first generation projected to outlive our children. And nowhere am I hearing in any of this discussion about health care or vaccines or prescription drugs, et cetera. Nowhere am I hearing just simple accountability where we just, the old willpower, the old timeless principles of health that if Mother Nature made it, eat it. If man made it, leave it alone or eat it in moderation. And so, you know, I'm not hearing that. You know, so I find that most intriguing that we're not targeting the probably the greatest answer, and that is just getting back to some timeless principles. No more do me quick trends that fix you overnight but really kill you in the end. So there's a lot going on here in our country right now.
Well, it comes into the mind that if there's an industrial process in the line here, it's called the pharmaceutical industry. They're producing copious quantities of pills which millions upon millions of dollars of research have gone into. And by research, we mean twiddling around and testing patients and subjects who have copious quantities of terrible, debilitating, and sometimes side effects that they can't even recover from that change them forever. And then, before they've actually done double-blind tests and anything that would scientifically prove their worthiness, they get approved by panels of psychiatrists who have between 1 and 14 financial connections to the psychiatric industry.
No, you are so right on that one. And so, you know, we're being marketed to. We're a bunch of laboratory animals here, losing our voices, losing our minds. And so it's really a time to be counted one person at a time. The world is never going to change in a broad stroke, but rather millions of small strokes from people like the hands of you and me and people. I've been researching a little bit, Vinny, what you've been up to and how you started with your connection to the autistic world. And, of course, you know, you and I both have something in common there. And just some of the connections that are being made to pharmaceuticals, to vaccinations. And as you said, no long-term science, just these quick-hit business proposals that are being proposed via the media. And so it's getting more and more confusing, but I think at the same time, it's becoming more black and white, thank goodness. The gray area is starting to leave. That's at least one step in the right direction.
Yeah, well, people have forgotten that if just because somebody's on a radio, just because somebody's on a TV screen, doesn't mean they're any different from you or me. All right? That's the thing. They are just as easily manipulated. They are just as easily dumbed down as the rest of us are. Okay.
Yep.
Some of us choose not to be slaves and choose to think independently and try to question things. Others, on the other hand, accept things passively. And as long as something doesn't happen directly to them, they don't take action. Much like if you're witnessing huge amounts of violence next door and you don't intervene or talk to the people afterwards or try to accomplish some resolution out to it, you don't do anything about it. Unless, of course, trouble from next door comes knocking. You got to actually look into the future and see how things are going from what things have been done already. Okay?
Yeah.
Do you think that a crazy, crazy profession like psychiatry, whose roots included Bedlam, which was a hospital in London where they locked up the mentally insane in cold cells, sometimes naked, dunked them in huge bowls of cold water that while they were attached to chairs that had spikes on them. You know, they basically just tortured people. That's all of that psychiatry really is. It's just a form of torture by some people who are tinkering around in your mind trying to figure out what makes you tick. And by golly, they have found a lot of things that make us tick, and they use it against us to enrich themselves and to kill people off.
Oh, you're so right. It's becoming chemical warfare and less hands-on. So, I mean, I've sat on thorny chairs and dunked myself in cold water just having fun, but never as a form of treatment. but, yeah, it's a very good point. And, I mean, you look at the influence that's being spread around right now you know, sometimes in the United States, and I don't want to sound like I'm in the bubble of any kind of superiorism, but unfortunately, the United States makes a lot of quick fix approaches to a lot of things, and we tend to lobby those things around the world. And, you know, it's time that everybody wake up and just be heard and take a stand for what's more timeless, what's more real, what's more sustainable, if you will. And this is a good time to do that. So I really appreciate your show for the things that you bring to the table.
Well, and I appreciate you for what you bring to the table. And I see my show as the table itself, really.
Absolutely.
So that everybody can see what's on it, you know?
Yeah.
Feast your ears, ladies and gentlemen, to the rhythmic sounds of the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Yeah. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Now, we talk about solutions, right, all the time, and every conversation has to enter into the solutions stage. And I think it's pretty early on in the piece, but we're going to go ahead with it anyway. My opinion is that all the mechanisms that have been enslaving us would probably tie into three categories: business, politics, and media. Okay, those would be the top three categories, as far as I'm concerned, as public institutions that need to be taken back very quickly in order to exert dominance over the New World Order folk in terms of their influence in this country. So, one of us is trying to go on the media platform. That would be me, and you're trying to go up on the business platform. How do you conduct business to the way, say, a New World Order person would conduct business?
Well, that's a good question. You know, we try to do business in a very conscious way. You know, it's been said that mothers, and I, you know, this is just things that I've heard and opinions that I think are very interesting to talk about, that mothers have a big influence on children, love on this planet. You know, they're sort of the source of the soil of love, if you will. And knowing that, I think CEOs are sort of the mothers of the business world, that there's an opportunity for a CEO to create a company with a conscience, a company that actually makes the world better by simply being in business and employs people, and it just makes a good, honest living. And so what we try to do is we make our business model we're actually committed to our business model being something that affects mankind in a positive way. So when we even opened our doors, Vinny, we told all of our employees once a month, go to lunch, never come back. And we tell them that, and it sounds like a small thing, and it is. It's a small random act of kindness, but what we do is we ask each of them to find something in the community that is completely outside of themselves where they can go hands-on, make a difference in the world. Now, in addition to making a difference in the world, I think they establish a lot of gratitude within themselves for the things that they do have in our lives, and gratitude is the soil of positive movement. In addition to that, sometimes we think the world is some intangible thing out there that we can't touch, when in fact the world is always here and now, and you and I can change the world every single day. So number one, it's about conscious. Number two, the products that we've chosen to market are not any trends or any quick fixes. I don't think that there's any health trends that are for real. Our health is as timeless as the sky is blue. So we kind of chosen timeless principles of health, timeless principles of humanity in our business modeling. Now, interestingly, we're a publicly traded company. Ah, there's a new wrinkle in the model. So it enables us to do a business in a very transparent way, in a way that everyone can take ownership in something like this and have a voice in something like this. But at the same time, you know, be commerce, feed the economy, do good things, and stand for those things that I think are needed. But everywhere you look, on nearly every street corner here in the United States at least, you know, it's quick fix, it's quick fix, it's quick fix. And I cannot see us making any improvements with that kind of modeling.
Well, you know, what's funny is that the people who are proposing the quick fix are actually running on a really long time frame, and they're getting us to buy into the idea of a quick fix, and we're the ones who should be thinking on a long time frame, okay? When you're thinking about healthcare, you need to think about taking care of your health. As in your health, it's not anybody else's. Nobody else has ownership over it, but you. You choose whether or not you pull into Wendy's. You choose whether or not you get a small fries or a large fries. You choose whether or not you brush your teeth with fluoride. You choose whether or not you drink fluoride in your water. And, well, to a certain extent, possible. I mean, there's plenty of it's basically impossible, I would probably say, to not get poisoned in any given day by various poisoning measures.
Yeah.
No matter how aware you are.
No, I completely agree with you. I don't know if you saw the study. You'll love this. Study was performed by a bunch of scientists where they pulled the umbilical cords of approximately 100 newborn children. Have you heard this study?
No, but it sounds like it was conducted in Nazi Germany in 1938.
No, actually, it was fairly recent. But what they did is they wanted to find how many synthetic chemicals they could find in the umbilical cord. And they found about 247 foreign chemicals, and 217 cause cancer and or nervous system disorders. And they're saying that whether it's air, water, personal care products, household cleaning products, food, diet, that these things compounded over time are going to have their effect on our health. I tend to be a little more liberal myself that, look, you know, a day of junk food, a week of junk food, a month of junk food, even a year of junk food may not be that good. But compounded over a long period of time, it'll kill us, you know, is what will happen. So I believe in the moderation approach, live a little. Don't be afraid. What you resist persists. So I'm just not a guy who's too afraid of these things. But I think that, you know, if you look around, it's about being educated and just knowing the choices you're making first and foremost. Most people don't even know what's behind the curtains.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say? The response to the toxicity of fluoride argument, for example, they say, mm-hmm. it's only one part per million. How can that do much to you? You know, okay. if you drink too much water, it can kill you. But you know, fluoride. Look, bro. Seriously, mm-hmm. have you heard of interacting factors, okay, as in more than one poison, more than one chemical affecting you at the same time? Just got shown on mainstream television last night here in New Zealand that pesticides on their own may not be that dangerous, but if you combine it with another pesticide, they become even more dangerous than ever before, okay? Mm-hmm. There are so many conflicting factors, influences, and little poisonous chemical interactions that we have in our daily lives, and that all gets passed on down a younger generation. And I'd probably say that's part of the reason why this younger generation has a shorter lifespan than ours.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Ron Williams from Forever Green, and we'll be right back after this very short break. Join us in the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and join us in the Vinny Eastwood Show Facebook group as well. Back in a moment. David Rockefeller theme song. The godfather of globalism, David Rockefeller himself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. I'd like to promote some eugenics on you. And I'd also like to give your kids some vaccines. To give them debilitating diseases and terrible side effects that will last their entire existence. So that you have to keep coming back to my medical corporations for the cure, which will never cure nothing, and I'll keep raking in your money.
Thank you very much, David Rockefeller, for that special appearance.
You're welcome.
Love it.
Yeah. Godfather mofo. I find it quite disgusting, in fact. How long did it take, really? I mean, for the entire American business community, in the higher-up levels, of course, to go from very honest, decent, hard-working, honorable people to basically the most ruthless, backstabbing scum with absolute no respect for humanity. How long did that take? 100 years? 200 years?
Well, what we did, no, I'm just kidding. That's a good question. I wish I could document it as far back as there because I wasn't alive there. And we always would like to think that our father or grandfather or forefathers did things in a stand-up way. But I think from just looking at pictures and reading, I think it was in the 1930s, 1940s when things started getting just really weird, and from what I've read. And from that point on, it was downhill.
Oh, goodness sake. Well, what did they introduce in the 1930s and 40s? I know, a world war, a UN, and freeze-dried food.
And the prohibition against hemp.
Oh, how incidentalist, you know. And again, It's a combination of factors, just like having 200 foreign chemicals in your...
Yeah, exactly.
What is that called? Some kind of a cord. But, you know, that speaks back to me is that we're born poisoned and we die poisoned, and the only difference is while we're alive and what kind of things that we take to relinquish said poisoning.
Yeah, I think the body's a self-healing mechanism, and it will perform miracles by the minute when we honor and edify the intelligence. The way we do that is we give it the proper raw materials. And so, unfortunately, the world is filled with foodless foods and lifeless drinks. Our children think they're health nuts when it says 10% juice on their candy. And when they think they're eating fruit, it's marketing of Fruit Loops or Apple Jacks or Crunch Berries or things like that. And so we just got to get back to what's real. And there is a movement in the United States of conscious business. There's a movement of timeless principles of health and very high quality movement. It's just we needed to be a lot bigger, a lot faster, and you know, to kind of turn back the hands of time a little bit.
Well, how do you turn back the hands of time in a real sense? I mean, I know people who are like 60, 70 odd, and they look 40, 50. And the interesting thing is that they just eat real food. That's patently the only difference that I see. If you want to be real healthy, eat real food.
Yeah, science is never going to compete with nature. It's so funny. We go into the grocery store and we're looking for packaging, and we go find a can of corn or a can of carrots or a can of something. These cans are just caskets. They're basically cooked foods that have cooked the life out of them. They put them in these embalming fluids right there in the casket tin can. They put packaging on there, so we're up and down the aisles looking to see what picture we like the most. If you want to see packaging, go to the produce section. Who packaged that? Who made those bright colors? Who made those bright flavors? Who made the different textures and the shapes and sizes and forms? And we call those signature foods. Why, when you cut a carrot, does it look like an eye? Or why does the walnut look like a brain? You know, why does the tomato exactly replicate the inner workings of a heart?
And why does a banana have a distinctive curve in it? But go on.
Yeah, I know where you're going. And the kiwi, it is round, fuzzy, and full of seed. Okay, enough said. So the whole point is that... Is it nature is nutritionally complex, so we don't have to. The 70s, the 80s, and 90s, they tried to kill us, telling us that we can neutralize bad behavior by chasing our junk food down with synthetic multivitamins, which are nothing more than just toxic. Health is a habit. It's not an event. It's not a handful of supplements on a Saturday morning chased by a frothy green drink. That's not health. And I think that's how we got ourselves in this mess, is we wanted to believe that.
Now, we talked about the illegalization or the prohibition of cannabis hemp weed, which previously, up until I think it was 1933, that was a completely legal, and everybody used it to basically make everything. They used it to make their soaps, their shampoos. They used it for animal feed. They used it to make their clothing. They used it to make their sails. They used it to make their paper, everything. And then it just became illegal. And it was interesting you said that it was around the 30s that American business and everything just kind of went down, and partly because of the hemp thing, because suddenly everybody being able to be responsible for themselves by growing the Indian hemp weed and creating all these materials from it without any monetary input or whatsoever, as long as there was sunshine, they could do it. all of a sudden, they're freaking slaves and they have to buy everything from everybody else.
That's a really good observation, Vinny. I think that, you know, hemp was the first crop ever mentioned in a billion-dollar conversation because of the versatility that you just mentioned. Whether it's energy, whether it's biofuels, whether it's clothing, whether it's hats, underwear, socks, food, nutritional things, paper, tissue paper, all these things. It's such a wonderful, wonderful plant. And so what happened was, what's interesting is you turn on the news today, and I won't mention any news networks, but it's about a bank, it's about an oil company, it's about a disease, and it's about bloodshed. And if you really were to break that down and you were to put hemp in that equation, you really wonder what we could have avoided. You know, again, hindsight's 20/20, but what could we have avoided by simply embracing the versatility of this plant and what it provides? We'd probably be way further down the road of what else it could provide, but it's making its comeback right now at a time when our economy is hurt, at a time when the health is down, at a time when the environment is absolutely raped. Now this hemp is making a comeback. And so we're, as a company, we're doing all we can to educate, market, create solutions, if you will, in the area of environment, in the areas of health, and in the areas of economy. And so we've created a brand, and it's doing quite well. In fact, some of the largest hemp manufacturers in the world are now contacting us because we're growing faster than any of them are. Because we figured a way to market it and educate people in a way that there's no resistance.
Well, that's the interesting point there about marketing is that, you know, you can use it for good or for ill. And this is the thing. We've got so many people who have great ideas out there who are very, very good people, but they're not marketers. They don't know how to market worth a dime. Essentially, that it doesn't matter how good their idea is then because nobody's going to hear about it.
Well, you have a lot of what I call fanatics, and fanatics like to tell everybody what they know, and in the process, they repel everyone they talk to. You know, the measure of one's leadership is moving somebody from point A to point B. If you smoked two packs of cigarettes yesterday, let's see if we can get you down to a pack and a half today. And so my whole methodology is acceptance. It's about loving people. It's about moving them from where they're at, not being a fanatic and just drawing a big line between me and that person. So marketing is nothing more than just really communicating to all walks of life in an accepting fashion. And so the way we do it is we just educate. You know, you Google hemp, and unfortunately paraphernalia comes up, and you Google cannabis sativa, and unfortunately more paraphernalia comes up. So we had to end up making up a name to get around the propaganda of industrial hemp, and we made up a name called Versativa. And in doing so, wow, we've just attracted every walk of life, the educated to the uneducated, to Silicon Valley, to hippies, to the younger generation, and even the older generation who remember hemp. And so in doing so, we've been able to create quite a movement with the message around hemp.
Well, there you go. And what are those products from hemp actually accomplish, I mean, in the lines of products that you sell?
Right now, we're just nutritional, starting out nutritional, but we are right pioneering a few things regarding clothing, shoes, shirts, socks. We're also doing some tissue products that I'm kind of sworn not to deliver yet because I don't want to say it before we have it. But we're going to do a product in such a way that no trees are ever taken from the earth, and we're going to do a very responsible line of tissue products. So it's fun. It's almost done, and it's taken quite a long time to get it to the point where we're at, but we're going to do it without using trees and raping the environment, in fact, in a biodegradable approach.
Well, would you conceive of helping to create like a global mega corporation that takes all their hemp and everything like that and produces really good, high-quality products at a cheap price and then just completely beat out all the other competition from, U.S. countries contracted to China and whatnot? Bring the jobs
on? No, it's a good point. You know, what's happening is, you know, America is the number one importer of hemp, yet we're the only industrialized country that I know of that can't grow it. And so as a result, it creates a lot of interesting scenarios of how this whole program can work. But what we're trying to do is bring the truth to the forefront here on our homeland first and foremost. That's where we live. Also provide it for everywhere around the world. And so be careful what you wish for. We just started with this idea just as a thought. But because of our prowess, you know, our abilities, I guess, in the marketing and the passion, the movement, the inspiration, the biggest hemp companies in the world are now really trying to hitch their wagons to us. And so I think the fair way to do it is, like you mentioned, is to try to create this global resource, if you will, and allocate it appropriately so that it's available everywhere to stimulate either economy, health, environment, all these kinds of things. If we can gauge the entire world in this conversation, obviously, we've done a good thing. We have a ways to go.
Well, you know, there's always a ways to go, and like the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, NORML, has been around for, 30, 40 years or so? And what have they achieved?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
The dead silence right there, you see? You can't think of a single thing, which leads me to believe that whatever they're doing, they're not doing anything worthwhile. Okay, so there really has to be a revitalization. And again, like I was talking about, those three pillars of society, business, media, and politics. You know, seriously, the systems that we have currently in place are absolutely irrelevant to the journey of mankind. Okay, they don't do us any good. Okay, they're terrible. We're better off not having a psychiatric industry compared to what it actually is. We're better off not having healthcare compared to the fact that it's the third leading cause of death. It's pretty terrible out there. So whatever's going on, and this of course applies to a lot of things, but we specifically mentioned cannabis here. Whatever is being done to resist the current model ain't working, because what they're doing is resisting the current model. They're not actually creating a new one at all. They're saying, oh, well, you know, this is really bad. It's terrible. And it's just like, well, come up with an idea then. Okay, we have come up with ideas. We need to legalize it, regulate it. We need to have this guy as a cottage industry, et cetera, et cetera. But you've got to actually implement it first. And the reason why I wanted to focus on this today is because I've just had some very bad news. The very first cannabis cafe in New Zealand was called The Dactory. In New Zealand, the local is called DAC. And they've got it in a factory, so it's the DAC factory, The Dactory. You know, it's got a cute name. And it's just been confirmed that it is going to be closing after 2 years in operations, because last year when it was raided, the proprietor of The Dactory, Dr. Green, is now going to go to jail most likely. And so the whole foray into trying to get cannabis legalized by actually creating a real cannabis cafe in New Zealand failed. In my opinion, it's because they weren't marketing it properly, and it wasn't really getting out into the community. Okay, it was just ordinary people doing ordinary things, and it didn't appear hugely professional. And it's just like there's an awful lot of rumor that goes on with things, and people choose to stay away because it's an illegal practice, what they were doing.
Yeah, the perception, that's the problem. And if you're not good at, I don't even want to use the word good, if you're not conscious of what the perception is, how are you going to communicate to the masses? And so if you're going to put marijuana leaves all over the front window, then obviously you're pretty much limiting who's going to walk through the front door. And people need to be educated. They need to be done it in a way that you can talk to everybody and give them the opportunity to learn the beauty of this plant. I had the privilege of going to Canada, because right above the American border, they're growing tens of thousands of acres of this cannabis, this industrial hemp. And so I'm talking to the farmer, and this is quite a revealing interview, when he explains just the willpower of the plant, hemp. You're inspired. He says, you know, when we grow strawberries or when we grow corn or blah, 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 if it snows, it ruins our crops. And, you know, he says, not hemp. He says, if it snows, it doubles its size. It grows up too, and it just pops through the snow like nothing happened. And so this is a plant that won't be denied. And somehow we've got to communicate it better than a Volkswagen van and a marijuana leaf. We've got to do it justice, is what I'm saying. And so we're consciously giving that effort right now. I think some days we're better than others, but it's working.
Well, I think you kind of touched on a point there. Being a cannabis activist, you've got to look very credible. And quite frankly, cannabis activists look like cannabis activists, don't they?
They do. You're so right there, Vinny.
You're listening to The Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest from Forever Green is Ron Williams. Wonder why he named it Forever Green. We'll get into more of that after the break on the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Back in a moment. Yeah, there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show. You can't run from us, because we will find you. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and he's a painter, And what he does is he loads all the Vinny Eastwood Show episodes up to his iPod, and then he just listens to them while he's painting houses.
Pretty colorful.
Yeah. There's another guy, he loaded them all up to his iPod. Man, I'm advertising iPods like crazy today. And he drove up from Wellington to Auckland, which is like a nine-hour drive, and managed to go through a few, something like five or six episodes. And it's just like, whoa, there's some dedication.
There is.
Yeah. Well, and again, about marketing, when I do the audio archiving for the show, I'm doing like, seven or something, sometimes different versions of the same archive, varying qualities and sizes and cuts, etc. Because you've got to be able to give a copy to the affiliates with some advertising in it. You've got to give an upload to the website that's free of ads. You've got to do two separate hours for the podcasting, and you've got to do one with all the music taken out for a publication to YouTube so that it goes out on multiple platforms all at once. And that's the idea, really, when it comes to marketing or getting something from a product. You've got to get as much out of it as you possibly can, which is what I think is very interesting about Versativa and all the Forever Green line of products, like the energy shots. They were very interesting. Tell us about those.
Well, you know, a lot of these energy things, especially, and I don't know how it's going out there in New Zealand, but I know in the United States, our children are simply just overdosing on these really highly synthetic drinks. And so these things don't give you energy. They just borrow life from your future is really all they're doing. And so we want to do a responsible version of an energy drink using nutrients and really make sure that it works, though, not just talk about it, give it a good story, give it a good product. And so we created a product called Electrifier. And I got to tell you, it works quite well, and it gives you this sustained, I call it mental stamina, but not that real shaky energy type of thing. So it's been pretty nice.
Well, that's what I find really strange, is that people have grown up with frickin' Red Bull thinking they need that to get their energy levels up, and they don't realize that Red Bull comes from a lot of natural extracts like guarana and whatever, but they don't put them in decent quantities. They just make it all up with artificial caffeine and whatever. But if you had hardcore or all of these really great sort of herbs and spices and whatnot that actually give you energy, you get way more, and it lasts for longer, and you don't crash.
It's sustainable. You sleep better at night. You wake up refreshed when you do it the right way. When you do it the wrong way, you get the shakes, withdrawals, food cravings, depressed, mental disorders. You name it, that's what comes with the abuse of the generic, I guess, synthetic energy crazes.
Well, speaking of crazes, what about crazy ravers? I mean, could you market the Electrifier like energy shots to like rave parties and stuff like that? Could people dance all night on that kind of stuff? That'd be something that I think would really, really help to blend movements with popular culture. That's what I'm interested in, is bringing those three pillars of society, politics, media, and business closer together in the truth sense of it, because in the current way of things, they do work together, except they work together against the common humanity, and I think that we really need to blend them back together to help them distort the vision of the bad people and to basically just take it back.
Oh, I agree with you. I think if we can get away from compartmentalizing our lives, where this is how I'm at work and this is how I'm at home and this is how I am when I'm driving my car and this is how I am at the mall, if we can just be like one people, you know, one goodness, if you will, and it goes into politics, business and media and all these things, I think that would be, obviously an ideal utopian type of society. But unfortunately, all these agendas permeate. It's all based on money and power. And we've just got to undress that with just goodness and kindness and masses of goodness and masses of kindness, not one or two here or there. Don't brag about being poor and pure. You know, take on life in its fullest and be abundant and be influential and don't apologize for that. But there's a way to do it, you know, in good conscience. And I think that I love that your show is really bringing to light these kinds of things.
Well, you know, when a lot of people, they try to do some good for humanity, they refuse money, they refuse success and all of that kind of stuff as if it's a bad thing, they say, and to justify it, they say, oh, money can't buy happiness. And to that I say, well, neither can poverty.
No, you're exactly right. You know, I heard a guy the other day say to me in a business meeting, he goes, you know what, when I have a toothache, I want to know that I have money. When I get a flu, I want to know that I have money. And when I he was going through just the most mundane things in life, and he was saying, when I go through these things, I do want to know that I do have money to take care of my children or to do the things in life that I'm really passionate about, because money doesn't make one whole. In fact, more the other. It kind of, it's like alcohol. It reveals the one's true character. But I'll tell you what, it's a powerful, beautiful tool when it's in the right hands.
Well, you know, and I find it's funny when some people, when they make a lot of money, you talk about the right hands, but what about when it gets into idle hands, okay? People who, I don't know, is there a natural progression with people and success sometimes? Is that when people don't value their success, when they don't know the value of a dollar, and they all of a sudden get given a whole bunch of it, they start to become really irresponsible? And they start spending up large, and they start risking whole huge amounts. They start doing debauched things, buying really expensive, very nice cocaine. And and goodness knows what. And then for some reason, they all decide, hey, you know where the best place for me would be? Wall Street.
you know, that is such a, that's really good that you said it the way you said it. You're so right. And, you know, what's funny about money is I was raised really poor, and I've been pretty blessed. I've been able to earn millions of dollars, and I've been able to share a good portion of that. And I don't say that because we're on the air. It's just what I'm passionate about doing. But I'll tell you this. You can tell when somebody comes from poverty to money, because they don't just buy one of everything that they like, they have to buy two. And it was one of the stupidest lessons I got to learn in my life is, I'll take two. But at a certain point, I realized I was sitting on my couch, I had money, I was idle, and I was golfing, and I just thought that, you know, that was the life, it was money and freedom, and I just got to learn that that was nothing more than a taker's mentality. There's something beautiful about being productive and active and having purpose in our lives. And fortunately, I got to learn that lesson. I didn't end up on Wall Street, thank goodness. But I can tell you that that there's a lot of people very idle with money who are just taking from society, and there's so much good to be done. And there's a lot of people who just tuck their money away and they hoard it, and they never they never live any kind of life.
You know why? It's
why?
Because the reason they did what they did is they did it for the money. They didn't do it because they wanted to do it.
Good point.
All right, that's what makes them not appreciate their money, is that because they don't know what to do with it. They just they just want it. And maybe is that the tool that is used on people who become really bright and know how to make it? Is that the tool that they use? Because they'll teach people how to make heaps of money. And sure, you know, if you want to go out and be a currency trader or a currency traitor, as I call them in the case of my Prime Minister, John Key, who was on the board of the Federal Reserve for 2 years and was Merrill Lynch's representative for derivatives and currency trading, no small part played in the massive financial crisis that we've still yet to suffer the full effect of, or even still yet to suffer even a smidgen of the effect that is to come from. Okay. I mean, and in this economy, in this type of structure, the real concern that I have is people really are being taught that money is the only thing of value. So what's going to happen to society once all the money gets sucked out of it as the economy gets imploded by controlled demolition? Okay, well, that's what I want to know, because if we've got a bunch of criminals walking around, running the country, making all the money, making all the lies and promises and profits that they can't share or keep, what's going to happen?
Well, the demographic of rich will change its description, and we'll find out who's really rich and who's not. And so it's one of the things really that I appreciate about New Zealand, and I tell people this all the time, is that there are certain principles that New Zealand has basically, I don't know if these were, I assume they were conscious decisions, but there were certain principles that New Zealand decided to stand by. and they weren't willing to trade in these principles for economic stimulus or power in the areas that weren't necessary. So I've always honored and respected that about the Kiwis and their approach. At the same time, I got to say to you, I've been there several times, and I'm so used to being so busy, I found it hard sometimes to relax as much as they do in certain areas of New Zealand. But, you know, it's finding that balance and just, you know, figuring that out. And it may be different for every single one of us, but I sure do love New Zealand.
Well, I love New Zealand too, which is why I hate it. Because it was interesting, you talked about how we like stood on principles, and I presume you were talking about the nuclear-free issue. Mm-hmm. Did you know that during the during those years of nuclear-free New Zealand, which we're supposedly still going through, not less than 20 shipments of yellow cake uranium got shipped through New Zealand ports from Australia?
Oh my goodness.
It is just like every belief structure that you ever have in any country, doesn't matter which area of the world it is, I can guarantee you there's probably a dark underlining beneath that glossy veneer of propaganda and 100% pure New Zealand. Because the reality is, although they say that there's 40 times as many sheep per person, I reckon there's just 41 times as many sheep. Bah! Bah!
Oh.
Take us to the slaughterhouse.
Well, then educate me then. What about the food chain? I've always heard it was a pretty clean food chain.
We'll get into more of that after the break. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. Back in a moment. Oh yes, indeedy. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because that's the most important question. And you can also check out our fabulous archives there as well, including our special featured interviews page with names like George Norrie, Webster Tarpley, G. Edward Griffin, and many, many more. And to add to that list of fabulous guests that we have on pretty much all the time and try to promote them as much as they possibly can, because it's the right thing to do. Ron Williams is my guest from Forever Green, and he's created a business about, well, making sure that people get decent health products that aren't terrible for them and aren't just some great ploy of marketing, although he does have many great marketing ploys.
I don't think marketing is a bad word at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't think propaganda is a bad word at all either. You know, it depends whether or not you're using white propaganda or black propaganda or gray propaganda, whether it's a full-on lie or the full-on truth or something to muddy the waters. I don't think any of that's inherently bad, but...
Yeah, we hear words like manipulation as though they're so bad. There's great forms of manipulation in life as well.
Yep, absolutely. You can manipulate your arm to pencil a great work, or you can take that pencil and stab it into somebody's eyeball. It's all up to you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the second hour, we wanted to get a little bit more personal. Now, you've got a daughter, like my somewhat fabulous executive producer, who had a whole bunch of vaccines, something like four or five of them, at before 7 months old, and later on developed a mental defect. And you have a similar story too, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And I appreciate, you know, you're talking about it. It's very personal. And I was, you know, I raised my daughter as a single dad. And one of the reasons we did the movie Happy Valley was her mother became addicted to pain pills. And so as a result, long story short, here I am with this beautiful little girl, and I'm trying to do her hair or buy her clothes or take care of her, change her diaper, all the things that a dad's going to feel very awkward trying to figure out. But took her to go get her vaccines at about 18 months. I'll never forget. After that moment, as a parent, you just know, she kind of went to sleep at the wheel kind of thing. And her heart still ticks, and she still has this amazing, loving soul and spirit, what I call the village eyes, the way she sees life. She sees it black and white. She sees only the pure, and that's all she's able to see. So from that perspective, she's been a blessing and a gift. But as a parent, you know, it just rocks your world when you try to imagine her falling in love, or it rocks your world when you try to imagine giving her away at a wedding, or when you try to imagine exiting this earth and her making it on her own. These things haunt me as a parent, and as a result, it catapulted me into do a lot of research on vaccines, not only the research, but provide alternative solutions to just a responsible way to embrace health and stop fighting disease. They love the fight because it's worth trillions and trillions of dollars. And so I guess in one regard, she's been a sense of some heavy-heartedness, but I would say much to the second, and that is she has been a real blessing and gift. I don't think I'd be where I'm at. God gave me some talents, and I think that I could be anywhere in life today, but as a result of her, I'm just barefooted, flat on the ground, on the earth, and just embracing every second of every season of life as a result of my little girl. So long answer, I apologize, Vinny, but yes, I'm given this beautiful child.
And the idea behind what I was asking here is just the degree to which this type of thing happens to ordinary families all across America and all across the world. This is the real home life for many, many people, and so many of them don't understand that it was done deliberately to their children. Okay, not necessarily by the hand of their doctors or by the hands of their parents, but those who actually own and are majority stakeholders in the psychiatric industry, who have influenced it, who have bought it up, these elite banking families, etc. They want this kind of life for people because it distracts them and makes sure that they are unable, really, to figure out what's going on and get really, really depressed about it. And when I looked after autistic boys, and interestingly enough, mostly boys get affected with autism, I knew of many different ways that at the very least help with autistic situations, knowing the people that I do in this country who are leaders in the field of alternative health practices. And I suggested it to the parents. Not one of them even gave it a second thought. They were just not interested. And I think it's because they, when they found out that their child was autistic and being told that it was their genetics that was the problem and being told that there's no cure, being told that there's nothing they can do, after being referred to 100 specialists, all charging a pretty penny, mm-hmm. they decided to give up completely and utterly forever. There's got to be a better response than that, is what I was feeling. And that's why I couldn't do it anymore, because it upset me so much to see that somebody would just accept it and not try and change it, not try and better the world and make sure that it didn't happen to others like you're doing wrong.
Yeah, I think a lot of people look at disease, and I think in some cases, you know, there are situations where a children comes into this world and for some reason beyond our comprehension, they're stricken with a life-threatening cancer at 4 months or 8 months or whatever. But, you know, when you see disease happening everywhere around us and the money, you know, we create all these so-called weapons of war. I think you articulated it very well, Vinny, in the beginning. These weapons of war that have become nothing more than friendly fire. I mean, we're just killing each other, killing ourselves off. For some reason, people are becoming okay with it, that we're just taking these pharmaceuticals or these, you know, the study of toxicology is how do poisons react in our bodies. And when we give these children these vaccinations, in my opinion, we're simply giving poisons to one of the most, I guess, one of the most lethal degrees we could, a living human being. And here these innocent little children come into this world without a choice in the matter. And we're following protocol with trusting our government and trusting the system, you know. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you've got this kid that's breathing and eating and living, but they're just kind of asleep at the wheel. So somehow we've got to figure out how to decode this. We've got to figure out how to take the metals out of the body. We've got to figure out how to get these people back on track, and more than anything, educate the public on what these immunizations are or aren't, so we can prevent this from happening ongoing. But I haven't given up. I've noticed there's dietary things we do with our daughter that takes her to different degrees of awareness. And I think there's, you know, we're never going to give up, ever. I mean, I guarantee you, we will never give up. And we've seen great improvements. And so some days she's 100% on, for that matter, whereas there were days when she was never on. So we're getting her close.
Well, you know, you brought up the word prevent. And this goes on to preventative medicine. Now, when you think about preventative medicine, all it really is just an awareness of how dangerous the medical industry is. That's as far as I'm concerned, the most valuable preventative medicine that you'll ever have is a little bit of education that when you go to see a doctor, he's more likely to kill you than any other factor, bar a psychiatrist or your own government. Which means that you obviously, when you get told something by your psychiatrist or your government, you're going to be even more suspicious than of your doctor. They're the three leading causes of death in the 20th century. Number one is your own government. Number two is the psychiatric industry. Number three is the medical industry. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, just think about preventative medicine for a minute. What kind of medicine do doctors not dispense? First primary medicine, food. The Hippocrates quote, let food be thy medicine, and let medicine be thy food.
And Vinny, interesting, some hospitals here in America now have McDonald's in them. That's true. That's absolutely true.
Well, at least they're close by when the coronary kicks in.
Yeah, exactly. You know, hey, you know what? I think I'm recovering. Can you go get me a Big Mac? I mean, it's just bizarre. So bizarre.
Well, you know, we've got this obesity problem in America, and it's just like the fact that pesticides, for example, which copious quantities of the American food supply are sprayed with, actually are now linked with diabetes and obesity and ADHD. So you've got a whole bunch of people who are fat, have no attention span, and can't learn anything, and are disabled, and then dope them up with psychologically dangerous drugs, and mm-hmm. then dope them up with copious amounts of caffeine, sugar, fat, and salt, copious amounts of brainwashing, mind-numbing television, and 5 seconds and 5 second soundbite news infomercially thingies. And what you have is a very, very ripe population for the taking, in my opinion. It's kind of like the old story of Hansel and Gretel. They keep feeding them until they got fattened up and then burn them alive.
Very well said. I couldn't agree with you more. I think you just said it really well. And you do such a good job, Vinny, at really kind of seeing behind the curtains with government, with business, with media, etc. At the same time, I'm equally as passionate as you are at trying to get the general population, the people, to take more responsibility for their ability to make these decisions too. It's one thing to see the systems force feeding them. It's another thing to see us go along with it. And I think that I'm more on the side of, hey, you have a choice in the matter. You can go through McDonald's or you can go have something healthy for lunch. Live a little bit, but man, try to live a healthy lifestyle. So I'm really kind of saying, look, we're not hopeless here. We're not helpless. We can all do something about this in our daily choices. People go to the doctor nowadays and they tell the doctor to fix this body, and then when you're done, give it back. I mean, there's just no ownership or responsibility in mankind right now, and we need more of that back. Taking pride in our bodies, taking pride in our decision makings, and not just taking somebody's word for it. I feel sorry for doctors nowadays, especially when I visit them, because if I ever go see one, I mean, I've got all the hard questions and they just run. So, but we do need to take better responsibility.
Well, I love making them squirm and making them run, though.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Well, you know, this is the thing. If you ain't having fun in your life, you're doing something wrong. Okay? Seriously. What on earth are you meant to do here other than just, you know, have fun at the New World Order's expense? Because nobody's got a bigger expense account than the New World Order. And exactly. We were talking. And going back to what we mentioned just before the last break, the New Zealand food supply. Now, like my sister, Janine, she has traveled the entire frickin' world. And she speaks a couple of different languages. and she loves food, and she's eaten in virtually every country that exists. Here's what she said. Best food in the world is from New Zealand. Hmm. That's what she said. And okay. I'm inclined to agree. I mean, I've been to America, I've been to Australia, and even the fast food in New Zealand, they say it's one taste, one planet, but all the fast food is usually sourced from that country. And coming back home, I realized that, hey, even the fast food here is better than everywhere else. And here's the interesting points. Grass-fed beef. That's what we've got here. Now, we've got a huge farming community. We have access to the best fresh beef, fresh lamb, fresh vegetables. Largely, we don't use too many pesticides, although, well, we don't use as many pesticides as the rest of the world, let me just put it that way, because if you mm-hmm. test anything in a supermarket in New Zealand, it's got pesticide residue on it, okay? Mm-hmm. Even a lot of the organic stuff has pesticide residue on it because it drifts over the field sometimes, you know? It's just mm-hmm. like the entire food supply is basically contaminated, but it's tastier and less contaminated than the rest of the world. but it'll still influence you to some degree. And organic farming practices are really getting up and going over this here way. And when I think about the New Zealand food supply, the thing that concerns me most is that, unlike most countries, we don't have an emergency food supply ration for the country.
Mm.
Okay, so if mm-hmm. food supply just suddenly got cut off at some point, we would have maybe about 3 weeks to a couple of months of food for the whole country to survive on, which is an extremely precarious situation to put any country through. And of recent times, because of the massive fires in Russia last year, massive floods in Pakistan last year, wiping out the huge amount, because Russia being the world's largest exporter of wheat and Pakistan being a major exporter of rice and having their major crops all wiped out, it's now causing what they call food inflation. Now, have you noticed this? Have you noticed that you've gone to the supermarket and you've bought a product that you normally buy all the time, and it looks exactly the same when you get it on the shelf, but you notice that there's a slight dimensional problem, like it's slightly shorter or it's not quite as big in some way. And you realize that the grams have actually decreased. What is called mm-hmm. is food inflation. They're putting less food and putting up more cost onto existing products, and they're trying to hide it by making the differences in the packaging slightly smaller. It's just so sinister. It scares the bejesus out of me. You know?
No, it's a good point. We source, you know, about 300-400 different raw foods. And I'll tell you, there's a couple of the people we're dealing with that is absolutely the case. And we've called them on it. And it's just, again, they run and hide. They don't want to answer the hard questions. But you're exactly right. We've seen it in our own business.
Well, you know, and to that I say, if somebody won't answer the questions, it means that they're dodgy, okay? You know, I've been ambushing politicians for a while and people who don't want to answer the questions that I've got, and I've noticed something. When you point a camera at somebody and you ask a question that they don't want to answer, or possibly a tough question, a yes or no answer, they'll give three typical responses. First, they'll dodge the question, which means they're dodgy. Two, they'll lie to you, which means they're dodgy. Or three, they'll tell you the truth, which means they're a potential ally. All right? And when you ask the question and it's a direct one, you then automatically find out by default what kind of person they are and whether or not you should continue doing business with them or keep continuing to associate with them or how much you want to trust them, how much you want to risk on them, okay? And with politicians, it's usually the two formers. They very rarely will answer a question directly. And why I find it very interesting that people continue to vote for people who won't answer their questions.
And watching the presidential debates here at home, they're all wearing earpieces, and there's somebody up in the skybox calling the plays. That's crazy.
I mean, seriously, these people are frickin' quarterbacks, and they take the plays and from the coach. Let's just real here. It's a frickin' puppet show out there, and when they pass the ball to the other team, the team is still on the same side, heading towards your goalposts. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. We're jamming. And then in the name of the Lord and whatnot on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about the lighter side of genocide. And I'd like to also give a shout-out to the fabulous board op that we have here. So professional, so clean, and has been doing such a marvellous job today on the show. And also my very special, somewhat miraculously marvellous guest, Ron Williams from Forever Green. Now, okay, so let's sum up just right here. We've gone through how the pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry, business and all of that kind of stuff, they're all basically just a bunch of evil scumbags, you know, bar a few exceptions, of course. And the main thing that you have to do to try and resist them is to, A1, expose them with information through film, radio and whatever, and two, you have to come up with better business models that actually give a flying F about people, use real products and do real good for real people. And is there anything else to really chuck in there? That's kind of about it.
Now, I think be an example of these things. I mean, there's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to do it. And, you know, we have to be willing to put our sweat and our action where our mouths are. It's one thing to know a lot of things. It's a whole other thing to do a lot of things and have that be tangible. And so, you know, we started a company, and I'm not here to promote my company, Vinny, or nothing like that. But I can tell you that a cause-based, purpose-based company is where it's going right now. There's a movement on this planet of people who are becoming alive and awake and conscious, who want to be, I guess, not feed the energy of all that negativity, but who want to basically be tangible, the positive solutions. And so we set our company out and said, look, if we're a big company, great. If we're a small company, great. But our principles are going to be the same. We'll sleep good at night. We'll have peace. And this is what life is about. And hopefully there'll just be a lot more of these pop up as we go.
Well, you know, I actually think you really should be promoting your company because, well, I like to give my show as a platform to people to do all that, because here's the thing. Like we said before, how money doesn't buy happiness, but neither does poverty. I think that these platforms, for example, media platforms, business platforms, entertainment platforms, etc., all need to be revolving and promoting each other for free. Okay, give some space on your website, give some airtime on your radio, give something to other people to help them generate income, okay? Because it all comes back to you, and if it doesn't cost you anything necessarily, then what's the problem?
Oh, that's a good point. You know, and we try to put it out there so that people not only could own part of our company, being a publicly traded company, and the ticker symbol is FVRG, as in Forever Green, F-E-R-G. And then we offer financial opportunities to people who want to go out and build their own equity, their own businesses. And so it's been nice. What's happening is people are moving to rural parts of the world because they don't want to live in all the big metropolitan cities. They want to control their destinies. They want to grow their own gardens. They want to homeschool their own children. They want to create their own equity in their own business. I mean, that's where this world is right now going. And so the higher the quality, the more sustainable, the better. And I will tell you, Vinny, what's special about your show is this. We watched companies that were competitors of ours that didn't have the timeless principles. They had more of a boy band mentality. They just one-hit wonders. They come and they go. Usually overhyped, over-sensationalized miracle pills and potions. And it was hard for us to watch these companies come and go and hurt a lot of people in the process. But I'll tell you this. One thing we believed in is principle, and there'll be a time and place when the sun shines on Forever Green. And I'll tell you that time is now. It's been absolutely spectacular to see what's happening in our company. But again, proving that if we're patient with our principles and we're not willing to compromise and we're willing to work hard and, again, make tangible our thoughts and our passions and our beliefs and our purposes, I think that it really it does have that fairy tale ending. It may not be as big or as small as we thought. It could be bigger. It could be smaller, but we are living our truths, and energy doesn't lie. People love to be around people like that.
Unfortunately, we're getting a little bit of distortion on your Skype there. Oh. Hopefully you can just hang up and we'll reconnect you there.
We'll hang up right now.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, I'm kind of buzzing somewhat chronically.
Thank you.
All right, we'll bring you back up momentarily. Hopefully my producer will be able to handle that. for us. Now, we wanted to talk about, well, at least I wanted to go on to discuss the whole idea of actually just getting things done, okay? Every single day, getting something done. It doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be small, and it doesn't even have to be successful. Just as long as you're working every day, right? Sure enough, if you keep putting effort into something consistently, you will wind up getting something accomplished. And if you don't accomplish anything great, you at least learn a heck of a lot on the way. And that's why I don't really resonate so much with the kinds of people who sit there and think all the time. All right, you know, there's a certain amount of thinking that's certainly good and healthy. For example, thinking about how you can actually get out of this tough spot where you're not doing anything or accomplishing anything. That's a good thought to have. But you don't make thinking about getting out of these terrible situations, thinking about them doesn't make them go away. You've got to think up something and then go ahead and frickin' do it. All right? Otherwise, it's a waste of frickin' time. You could understand issues a heck of a lot better. But if you're not doing anything with that understanding, if you're not spreading that understanding to other people through videos or a radio show or whatever, then those benefits are yours and yours alone, and nobody else will be able to make a judgment call on whether or not it's effective or not. And so, therefore, it's ineffective by default. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't make a difference to me or really what it is that you're trying to accomplish in your life. Okay? It's beyond a joke. It's beyond a joke. If you think that you're going to actually make something happen just because you want it to. Okay? Seriously. Making a video, for example, and I kind of wanted to share some of my personal experiences here because I used to go out partying and I always wanted to be a filmmaker and I always wanted to do this and do that. And I kept asking people for help. You know, can you help me make a TV show? Can you help me make a YouTube channel? Can you help me do this and that and the other? And everybody said, yeah, sure, I'll help you, and they never did. One time, I met a guy at a party, and I asked him to help me. And he said, well, I'm not going to, but I'll give you a piece of advice. Just start doing it, okay? Just do it. If you want to be somewhere, just do it, and start doing it now. And I took that advice really to heart. And that's what I'm passing on to everybody who's listening to this right now. If you want to be something, if you want to be somewhere, if you want to do something, if you want to make this world a better place, then do it. You know, Yoda spoke some very true words.
That is why you fail.
And to a lesser extent. To a lesser extent.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Because, hey. It's pretty straightforward. That's why they call it the force. Because if you force yourself to do something, there is no object that can't be moved. All right? We have literally the capacity to move mountains. Provided, you know, you have enough nuclear weapons. But sure enough, anything that we choose to accomplish in this world can now technologically be achieved. However, there's the other human element. The human element of jealousy, greed, corruption, all those nice things, who essentially undermine and discourage people from wanting to do the right thing, which I find, absolutely silly. Because let's face facts here. The only people who'd want to undermine you are the people who have something to lose because you didn't pay attention in the first place. This is the thing. It always, 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 and I hate to repeat it, but apparently repetition is the best form of brainwashing, that it's always, always, always ties back into personal responsibility. You know, I'm sorry, that's the way it is. If you don't choose to be responsible for your health, for your family, for your community, for your city, for your country, it will get itself in a very bad bind and twist indeed. And there will be nobody to blame but you. Do you have any idea how much responsibility that is? I understand it. That's why I spend sometimes up to 20 hours a day working to try and alleviate myself of the guilt of letting down the people that I love, the country that I live in. Okay? Every moment of inaction, I feel, is a disjustice to everything that I owe my ancestors. All right? It really is that big for me. And it should be like that for most people. Apparently, it used to be. I don't understand that, but I can't even think of a time throughout history where everybody took this responsibility that seriously and understood it to the degree that, say, I do. You know, there's people who wanted to jump on boats and merrily go away to war and die with their guts hanging out in a terrible battlefield of some description so that some bankers could line their pockets with the money that their government loaned from them. You know, sure, that's patriotism. And of course, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but for goodness sake, by celebrating Memorial Day, by celebrating Anzac Day, and remembering them without exposing the evil bankster scum who set them up so that they died, you therefore do an injustice to them. And somebody could, like, come at me and be very angry that I made a joke about about our fallen brethren who died and whatnot, and I can understand where they're coming from. However, they don't understand where I'm coming from. They don't understand reality. They don't understand the fact that nobody needs to go to war. They don't understand that every single war in the entire 20th frickin' century pretty much has been set up and staged in order to preclude the possibility of a peaceful world so that various scumbags high up in the establishment can create globalist organizations like the United Nations, the League of Nations, the World Health Organization, the World Trade Organization, anything with world in the title, basically, World Bank, International Monetary Fund. All these globalist organizations realize that the nation state of, say, Germany or the United Kingdom or Canada or the United States was a very, very bad thing, because if everybody's got national order determination and can make their own decisions and take responsibility for their own actions, then there's no possibility that you could ever wind up having global communism, where everybody's trapped in a terrible situation, tracked and traced wherever they go, police on every street corner, cameras on every other. Okay? You wouldn't be able to accomplish that with a nationalistic bunch of people, because they would decry the possibility of being dictated to by somebody overseas in a representation of an organization that has basically nothing to do with them and is completely unaccountable. Okay? People with a strong belief need those beliefs to be waned in order to replace them with something else. What's happening nowadays is that we have United Nations brainwashing programs in our public schools that are teaching everybody that the United Nations is the best thing since sliced Nazi heads. It's just unbelievable, considering the organization was headed and started by frickin' Nazis. The UN building was given to the organization by the Rockefellers. Okay, the biggest oil men who the Nazi frickin' war machine, the Luftwaffe, the German Air Force would not have been able to get off the ground unless they had the patented US Standard Oil. Get it through your heads, man. These people are lying to you, and they're trying to take over your country. And the way that they're trying to do that is by brainwashing your children. They want to steal one generation so that then the next generation that is born, they won't have to brainwash at all. Their parents will do it all for them, okay? And then you will have an entire world of people who love the idea of world government, love the idea of a false left-right paradigm, love the idea of basically living their lives in a slave prison state. Okay, much like on what's it called, Brave New World, how everybody was drugged up, had no family, had no nothing. It's just unbelievable. And I believe my guest, Ron Williams, is back with me now. Are you there, Ron?
Yep, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I was just talking about how basically the international organizations are trying to brainwash a generation of children so that they'll wind up turning against their parents and becoming the next government of the future that loves the idea of global communism and slavery and nobody having any personal responsibility.
Yeah, I think they'd like to try, but, you know, this new generation is pretty special that's coming up right now, so it'll be interesting to watch.
Well, special in what way is the problem?
Well, they're so good at video games, for one. No, I'm kidding.
Well, you know, I mean, that'll be good, you know, because they can fly the government's predator drones for them.
No, you know, that's a good point you make. You know, you're right. The generation that we're watching right now is more into less exercise, more into video games, junk food. You're right. Foodless foods, etc. There's also a group of very aware little children that are coming into this world, and just, you know, God forbid that we can just make sure that they get to live out their callings, because there are some very strong little bright spirits that are coming in right now as well.
Well, yeah, but this goes back to the point of, I think here's an idea that I've been kicking around in my head for a long time. Have you ever heard of the Steiner schools?
You know, I've heard of them. Elaborate. I've heard the name.
Well, it's basically they teach children about interactive skills and lateral thinking for the first 5 years, 6 years of their life, and then they teach them writing and alphabet and arithmetic afterwards, after their brains are developed and the social function, and they catch up their learning. I think we need a truther school. And welcome back. Oh, yes. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about having a McDonald's in your hospital. You have a triple bypass, and you wash it down with a triple cheeseburger. Welcome back to my very special guest, Ron Williams from Forever Green as well.
Oh, that's good. I'll take a quarter pounder, please.
A quarter pounder, all right. You know, if you have a quarter bypass,
exactly.
You get a coupon. It really is that ridiculous. You know, the problem is we're laughing about it, but this kind of stuff goes on.
It's for real. I mean, comfort food after bypass surgery. How's that?
I mean, I wonder, they probably do room delivery. Can you send us up a couple of Big Macs? I just had liver cancer surgery.
Do you have a happy meal?
Yeah. Or better yet, you know, if you take a lunch break in between your surgery, you know, you get two surgeries for the price of one.
Yeah, exactly. I want to hurry and eat this before my surgery.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to wash it down. But apparently you're not supposed to eat before surgery and all that kind of stuff, because, you know, if McDonald's got into your bloodstream, my goodness, you'd have a raging virus on your hands, you know.
Oh, boy.
Well, it turns out that a lot of U.S. beef, if not most, as far as I know, is legally, legally is different from lawfully or good, as far as I know, allowed to have very diseased beef sold to the public, so long as it goes under and gets irradiated to kill all the bacteria, so that all the food and excrement and dead bacteria bodies are all over your meat, so it's perfectly fine as long as they're radioactive.
Yeah.
Speaking of radioactive, how is the continental U.S. these days?
Oh, yeah, we have our issues.
Well, you know, there's something actually I wanted to get into in the last segment here, is that this huge radiation cloud that's coming over from Fukushima. Do you know of any ways, or have you got any products that can help people, you know, relieve their radiation sickness or cleanse their bodies of it? Because apparently chlorella is really good. I mean, I don't know. The fact of the matter is everything's contaminated, the food, the water, the air. Okay, so it means that no matter where you're getting your ability to sustain your life from, it's now contaminated.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues around that right now, and there's supposed to be a detection going on here, and what they're feeding us here, so I don't know the facts here, Vinny, is they're feeding us that radiation levels here would be equivalent to a normal heavy rain day, and just a normal day. So without the rain. So that's what they're feeding us. Don't know if that's in fact factual.
In California, they had to turn off their radiation detectors for, quote, recalibration. The final measurements that they had come up with was 18,000% above normal radiation levels on the California coastline.
Hmm.
Right? And iodine-131, radioactive iodine, was detected in Boston's water supplies up to 19 times above normal, or I think it might have been 113 or something ridiculous. The numbers are astronomical.
Jeez.
You know, you can take your pick. You can throw a dart at the dartboard and say, how screwed are we? It doesn't matter where you go, as long it'll still be a bullseye. You know?
Yeah, it's interesting.
We're talking about the contamination of the entire Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, they're not even discussing it here. Isn't that interesting?
Well, it's not a surprise at all. After Chernobyl, there was a monstrumental cover-up. And the cancer rates in the world are now 1 in 3. And mm-hmm. after Fukushima, I would probably say it's going to be closer to 1 on 1, you know? I'd say that probably everybody will get cancer in their lifetime of some varying form or degree because of this. And that's assuming that you're not born in some way deformed or sick due to radiation contamination of your umbilical cord. You know, this is the kind of things that keep me up at night.
No kidding. Yeah, it's very serious.
And, you know, how does one approach that, really? I mean, from a can-do attitude type of thing, from a filmmaker or a musician or whatever, I mean, you've got a lot of talents. I mean, let's say, for example, you wanted to raise awareness out of how to, you know, prevent radiation from going on. What would we really be doing about this?
I mean, that's obviously the question, Vinny. I mean, I would ask you the same question just because when I hear about radiation coming out of Japan, you know, across the Pacific Ocean, into our hemisphere, into us over here, into our homeland, I mean, what can you do? What can you do from central Utah, between here and Fukushima? What could you do to raise the awareness, other than maybe work on a prevention of the effects that this would have, you know?
Well, you know, that's absolutely correct, and my producer just typing in here, leave the country.
Well, you guys need to find me a little nice little town to bring my family to out there. I know we can always move. I hate abandoning my the people that I'm supposed to be here lining up with, but at the same time, you're right. There's just, we're not getting fed the truth. One needs to look out for one's family right now, putting politics aside. So I tend to agree with your producer.
Yeah, and Exodus is now happening from Japan to Australia. And, of course, the wealthier and more well-traveled people instantly know what's going on. On the day of the Fukushima quake that set off this massive meltdown, there were hundreds of private jets that got people the F out of Japan.
Yep.
Yeah, and the radiation is now penetrating the southern hemisphere, but conveniently enough, though, there's a regular push, a weather force or something like that, that doesn't allow any air current from the northern hemisphere to penetrate too far into the south. About 1,000 kilometers is as far as the radiation that's airborne can go. But at this point, we're talking about a contamination of approximately 90% of the Pacific Ocean already. So, you know, my opinion is, if you want to protect yourself, first thing you've got to do is you've got to get out of the line of fire, which would be the, northern hemisphere, basically. And you would want to be making sure that you've got preparations in order, you know, some iodine supplements, for example, they fill your thyroid gland up with iodine so that you don't wind up taking in any of the iodine-131 or any of the other radioactive iodine particles that are around, because if they get into your thyroid gland, they can actually poison it, and that helps to regulate all of your bodily functions. So, you know, you'll wind up getting cancer a lot earlier. And in terms of detox after the fact, I think the whole idea of radiation poisoning is much like a hangover, All right. You know, you need to get plenty of fresh fruits, vegetables, chlorella, lots of water. And in the new issue of Uncensored magazine at uncensored.co.nz, there is a huge list of supplements and things that you can take to help prevent radiation. All right, a huge list. Mm-hmm. And they're so easy to get your hands on. These are things as simple as rosemary. All right? So even though it may sound like the end of the world or whatever, the solutions are always simple, always have been. So don't worry. It's just the end of the world.
It's like a sci-fi movie. It's almost hard to believe and imagine. It really is.
Yeah, well, where do you think the sci-fi movie makers get their ideas from?
Yeah, really.
Well, it turns out that The Matrix, you know how they had everybody hooked up to these huge power plants living in a manufactured reality?
Yeah.
It actually came out of a Department of Defense document. They actually had that as one of their ideas for power generation and inflating the human race.
Very interesting.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I always say that there's bugger all, creative people in Hollywood now because they get all of their ideas handed to them.
Yeah, all you got to do is watch. A lot of them are handed to them. A lot of them are coming through reality. I mean, they're really happening everywhere around us. And so to make a movie about it, it's not so much a stretch anymore. These things are really going on.
Yeah, and that's why if you want to live in the world of fantasy, just look around you. And believe me when I tell you, you'll be looking at a very fantastic lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what life is now. It's one beautiful, multicolored fantasy. And, mate, I seriously would want to give it up to the globalists and the major mind manipulators. They deserve an Academy Award for Best Original Idea.
You're right.
You know, and for us and everything, I'd just like to thank you very much, Ron, for coming on the show with me today, because I'm sure that you're an extremely busy man trying to save the world and such.
Well, you know, I love your show, number one, and I'm busy just doing what I think would be my part. I can always do better. We can always do better. But, you know, the second we give up hope on each other and on solutions is the second we just surrender to the things we talk about. So I'm kind of the guy who's the ultimate optimist that when people decide to do things, great things are going to happen. And I'd like to think that my life is, at some level, you know, tangible evidence of that. So hopefully the listeners that are hearing this will really realize that, you know, the world isn't out there somewhere. The world is here now, and we can change the world every day, and it's just one person at a time being counted, and that's what we've lost. We've lost the value of one, and so we need to bring that back.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to check out Forever Green's products, ladies and gentlemen, there's a banner now uploaded to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And, Ron, again, thank you very much for having you on. It's been a real pleasure spending a couple of hours with you.
My pleasure. Tell your producer why he's one of the best producers you've ever worked with. Good job.
You know, he gets that a lot.
Awesome.
All right,
we'll see you.
Thanks, Ron. Have a lovely day. All right, Ron Williams, ladies and gentlemen, from Forever Green. If you really think about it, having some sort of an understanding of the world around you is absolutely dire and important, you know. And, well, I think it's, again, it all comes back to responsibility, all comes back to love. And thank you very much. I love you for listening. Bye-bye. We'll see you again sometime.